and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Boy, it is the Stephanie Miller Show, 6 minutes after the hour.
What was that?
It's just so pretty here in New York. It's like a snow globe.
How can Calcutta...
I know, and I know it's 77 degrees or whatever in L.A. My Yahoo page is still taunting me because I don't have to change it off to L.A.
It was like 80 degrees and not a cloud in the sky yesterday. It was so beautiful.
I got all the cold and hiking in my T-shirt. I used to be that obnoxious person in L.A., and now I'm not.
Now you're not.
But I don't care, because Central Park looks like a magical snow globe. It snowed yesterday.
I wanted to go outside yesterday, but you made me watch TV.
Oh, well, Cinderella. Too bad for you. yes, it's, you know, it's like everything in Mama's life. It's all magical and beautiful before it all turns to here in New York later today.
Yes.
But it's really pretty right now. And hopeful. Okay. Stephanie Miller.
New York is getting a lot of snow this year, isn't it?
It
doesn't get this much snow.
I like it. Okay. I like it. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, Miranda, who's in for Rebecca Taylor. How does one contact Miranda?
Miranda@StephanieMiller.com.
All right. Don't give her a Miranda warning. Just go ahead and email her.
Yeah.
Then Dick Cheney will say something about how we're weak on terror.
There she is.
Hello, Miranda. All right. Miranda's late. Apparently, she doesn't know who she's talking to. Where's my butter commercial music? Tim in Dallas on the live blog this morning is pointing out that Mama has moved up the heavy 100 talkers list of...
whatever.
Of things.
Miranda, you will have to answer the phone this morning. Hello, number 24, talk show host in America. We're number 12.
Weren't you, like, number 56?
I'm moving up. I'm moving on up.
Yeah.
Where's my, do you have moving on up? Maybe we don't have that. Tim says, you can count on me to bring you the latest Stephanie-related news.
We're moving on up.
Woo! Check me out. Eat my dust, number 25.
Well, okay. Look who you're ahead of.
I'll get to that. You can count on me to bring you the latest Stephanie-related news, especially if news is defined loosely. Talkers Magazine has just posted it's highly subjective. Yeah, I'll just a little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit. I'm just saying. I don't want to say, Chris. I'm just saying. When I travel to our stations, you know, be it Madison or Chicago or San Francisco or Seattle, I'm generally number one. I'm the number one show on the station, so I don't really know how these lists are.
Oh, I know how they're compiled.
No, you do too. Shush.
Okay.
Shush, you're talking to the MC of the New Media Seminar.
That's right, I know.
Magazine next month. Shush. Okay, let's see. Blah, blah, blah. In the subjective list of America's most important talk radio host, Stephanie is at her highest rank ever on the annual list. She's number 24, higher than hosts such as Bill Bennett. Ooh. Just edged out gambling Bill Bennett in
Great.
His news fest. Number 25, Howard Stern's only 32.
Wow.
And Roger Hedgehog.
Cock.
Excuse me?
Roger Hedgehog. You keep getting that wrong.
Roger Hedgehog is...
Cock.
Excuse me?
Roger Hedgehog.
Oh, pardon me. He's 31.
Oh.
Tim always gets that wrong, too.
Okay, good.
He said, thanks. I always get that wrong. The cock part. Uh-huh. Roger Hedgehog.
Yes.
He's number 31.
Roger Hedgehog.
So I totally
get it right.
Faced him. Wait till I see him at the New Media Seminar.
He's going to be there?
31. All right. Mama, by the way, we'll be on the I'll be on with David Schuster for my first time today on MSNBC. I will be on at 3:30 Eastern, 12:30 Pacific.
Very cool.
I'm very excited. You know, he makes me giddy. David Schuster does.
Well, you think he's cute. You think he wants to date you.
I want to kiss him. I want to date him. Tell Mrs. Schuster. Anyway, yeah, Ed is preempted all week. The Ed show's preempted for the Olympics this week.
And I noticed.
So I had media whoring needs to fill, and thank God David Schuster called.
Yeah. I noticed that other shows on MSNBC were preempted because of the Olympics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all Olympics all the time, I guess.
Include Rachel and
no,
Keith?
Rachel was, I think it depends on what time.
Oh.
I saw Rachel last night. Oh, speaking of which, do you have some music? It's time for my Letters from Liberal Talk Show Host's Parents segment, the wildly popular You know me and Rachel's dad, we have a little thing. Rachel describes it as he's obsessed with me. I don't think Mrs. Battle would have. She said, I wouldn't say obsessed. He just brings certain things to my attention. He sends me little, we send little love notes back and forth.
Is he like a cub producer?
A little bit. A little bit. Rachel said he calls almost every day to tell him something I said that was hilarious, and I'm... She's probably like, I'm like that person in school. Thanks, Dad.
Oh,
I don't, you know, I do this too. I'm more successful than she is. I don't know. There's gotten to be a weird sibling thing going on.
All right.
I'm somehow their adopted liberal radio host. anyway, Bob Maddow.
Yeah.
Of Bob and Elaine. Bob writes, staff, you might be interested in this column, and he sent me the Washington Post column on his little baby daughter. That about Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and our buddy Howard Kurtz did a nice piece, yes, on Rachel's involvement in Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and you know, all that, and having Dan Choi on and all that delightful article on his little baby daughter.
She's doing such a kick-ass job.
Oh! In A. P.S., I'm still struggling with my mental image of you snowshoeing this weekend. Don't you spill a lot of wine when you're on those things? Oh, Rachel's daddy. You're funny. You know, you spill wine once, okay, maybe twice on someone's entire family, and they, you know, that's the lens they see you through the whole time. Just because in an event in San Francisco I spilled wine on the Maddows, suddenly he's got to bring it up every time we talk.
It's kind of a defining moment in your relationship.
It's the embarrassing incident that happens everywhere I go, Chris.
Well,
in Minneapolis, of course, there was the the pole dancing incident, and
where you
as we
pretty much
to it
brought
now.
Down the entire.
Yes.
Hall.
I almost killed many, many listeners in the front row. Anyway, compared to that, it kind of pales in comparison, the San Francisco Maddow family wine incident. Whatever, Bob.
Which you will be henceforth known as.
All right. Loves me some Maddows, all of them. Oh, so, first of all, I know, I always get these, that right-wing hate letter guy? He always, he sends me letters criticizing not just me, but everybody else on the progressive side.
Right.
And I love how they think that that's such a gotcha moment when some, I don't know, asshat Republican congressman said to Rachel on the on Meet the Press, well, if you're not for the Bush tax cuts, why don't you give yours back, rich girl? And they think that that's like an aha gotcha moment. Like, what? What? She's making a cogent point about the tax system in the United States. Like, oh, because you didn't give your tax cut back. That's, you can't, you're not qualified to comment on it. Yeah, anyway, they're like, nah-ha! All right, so the other aha moment was, because, she took a jab at Fox News when in this article.
She did.
Yes, she was discussing activism in the media because she came from being an activist before she was in the media. Right. She took a swipe at Fox News, which she described as using news coverage to inspire political participation.
They do.
They are actively promoting these teabaggings and whatever else is going on. So a Fox spokesperson said these feelings that she experienced about Fox News didn't stop her from applying for a job here.
Mm.
So, anyway, Rachel said, like any of us in the... Well, I'm kind of just a media whore, but anyway, she's an actual media person. She said, I never personally applied for a job at Fox, she told Politico. I have an agent who I assume talks to everyone on my behalf, so I have no reason to believe that Fox's claim that they were approached on my behalf is false, even if I never knew anything about it at the time. She went on to say, let the record show, I also had a really pleasant conversation with Roger Ailes at a Christmas party once. I shook Bill O'Reilly's hand at Terry McAuliffe's book party, and I'm 99% sure Glenn Beck passed me in a green Bentley once on the Merritt Parkway. Yeah, I, Chris, back when I had agents before I, fired them all.
Yeah, you don't have an agent anymore, so nobody shopped you around on your behalf.
Yeah, because they were sick of hearing.
Right.
But anyway, yeah, that's what they do. They call, that doesn't mean she applied for a job at Fox. That's what the agents do. They call around, trying to get, before Rachel got her show, obviously, on MSNBC.
Something tells me that she wouldn't be a good fit at Fox News.
Somehow, me thinks she might be a little too smart a liberal for Fox News.
I do believe so. She ain't no Kirsten Powers or Mara Liasson.
And other people that should go unnamed. All right. At any rate, so I just love us some Rachel Maddow. That's all. That's all I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Oh, you remember, in fact, once, a little behind the the media veil. Mm-hmm. You remember I once shot a pilot for a show for a network that I won't name now, but the guy left in the middle of it for
yes.
Fox News, you see. And the joke was on me, because that's what I said. I'm like, Fox News? I'm never going to get a show at Fox. Oh,
crap. Even Geraldo is turning into a Fox liberal. It's becoming just so disgusting
yeah.
over there.
I know. All right, well, give me some love music, though. Pathetic as my life is, well, I told you my Valentine's Day consisted of... Actually, I got turned down by two married couples for a date to go to Fashion Week. So I spent... I was at Fashion Week looking at a bitchy model's walk to ABBA music.
Mm-hmm.
That was how my... And just felt even worse about myself.
Right.
As you can imagine. That was my Valentine's. That was what I did Sunday. I couldn't even get a date with a married couple. John Fugelsang was sick. I don't know.
Oh.
Guy that owns the show was doing something romantic with Ida.
Whatever.
His wife, something. Anyway. This is more apropos of my life. A Minnesota farmer creates a Valentine out of manure, which I think
oh.
is perfect. Because it always turns to... Anyway, doesn't it, in the end? Just me.
Miranda seems to agree.
Miranda, you and I will talk.
Oh,
nothing says I love you like a half-mile-wide heart made out of manure. A southern Minnesota man created the Valentine's Day gift for his wife of 37 years in their farm field about 12 miles... The West. Well, I don't know wherever it is.
I just love that story.
At least he's honest, right, Miranda?
Yikes.
At least if someone would say, I love you, but this will turn to eventually. You know what I'm saying? At least then you would, you know, you'd have a heads up, right?
I just really hope he hosed off or something before going back in the house. Happy Valentine's Day.
Speaking of hosing off and Valentine's Day, what did you do, Miranda?
I slept most of the day to prepare for the week.
My
boyfriend is
you know,
a bartender,
it's not
and he
What's
had
that?
To work. My boyfriend is a bartender, and he had to work.
Mm.
Oh, wow.
So,
you know, it's not required to be a bigger loser than the host to work on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It helps.
You didn't
okay.
have to sleep all the way through Valentine's.
So with this job that you've taken right now with the Stephanie Miller newscast, your boyfriend and you are on exact opposite schedules.
Oh, completely.
Yeah, that's...
Oh, this show, trust Chris and I, this will continue to ruin your life in magical ways. It's like, you know, it's like crossing a black cat's path and walking under a ladder at the same time. But good luck to you. Thanks for joining us.
You will have no social life whatsoever.
Of any kind. I don't even have to get up anymore at, you know.
At stupid o'clock.
Yeah, and go to bed at.
Insane o'clock.
And I still have no life.
Yeah.
It's a neat trick, but I'm pulling it off.
Although you have gone to a few swanky parties.
I have. But I'm always the single loser at the swanky party.
You need to find a man.
I
Or they'll drum you right out of Broadway.
I had dinner last night with the guy that owns the show that's trying to kill me for the life insurance money. That's my social life. There it is.
Hmm.
All right. But you know what? You know what's going to magically make everything better, Chris?
What?
You know... P90X.
Oh, yeah. It's going to get you that hard body that you need to attract men.
Well, I don't want to look like, you know, Madonna or, you know, that colonel in Avatar. But I do take my health seriously. You know, I'd like to run with the dogs. I like to hike with the dogs. I do spinning class. But P90X, perfect for, first of all, an elderly shut-in like me. And you, Chris. You just started yesterday.
I did.
And already you're looking more buffed. I don't know if that's the Skype or not.
Well, P90X is a little bit less weight training and a little more stretching than I'm used to, so I have to get used to it.
Well, that's what you need. So you've got to work your body from different angles.
That's right.
What happens if you keep doing the same thing? You either get overuse injuries, your body gets into a rut, you either get bored or you just don't make any progress. You plateau, as they say. But how many of you have gym memberships you're not using? Exercise equipment that's gathering dust. I'm going to be taking the P90X challenge, posting my results online. So is Chris. I urge you to take the challenge as well. P90X comes with a completely risk-free guarantee of results and satisfaction. Check this out. 90-day radio-exclusive in-home trial. You can try it for the full 90 days, and if you aren't completely satisfied, return it for a refund. What do you have to lose? I get letters every day from people that have either used it and say it works, or they are going to start it because, listen, it's perfect time. Think by summer, we're going to be ripped. Just saying, because it's, you know, February now.
You're going to look like Madonna.
Mm-hmm. Call 800-509-9438. I may be dating a Brazilian supermodel named Jesus.
Jesus. He's Brazilian. Jesus. Yes, Portuguese, they pronounce it the
by
J.
summer. Mm-hmm. That's my goal. 800-509-9FIT. That's 800-509-9FIT. Or go right to my website now, stephaniemiller.com. Click on that banner ad. 21 minutes after the hour. Evan Bayh and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
You can't turn her off. Not in the middle of turning her on. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Mm-hmm. I get it, because yeah. I'm going to get into Madonna's shape and get a 22-year-old Brazilian boy toy model.
That's right.
By summer because of P90X. Okay, all right. 26 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, that phone number, toll-free from anywhere to join the party. So obviously the bombshell yesterday that we reported, Evan Bayh, whom I have no use for.
It's not looking good in Indiana. It really is not.
To retire. He decided against running for a third term, a move that comes as a surprise to Democrats in his state who had already started working on his campaign. He's a... what an asshat, Chris. I mean, seriously. The filing deadline is Friday.
Yes.
I mean, that really puts Democrats in a bad position.
Someone must have really, really pissed him off for him
his
to do something like this.
Will have
this.
To move remarkably fast in order to get their name on the ballot. The deadline to file is this Friday. Candidates have to have 500 valid signatures from citizens in Indiana's 9 congressional districts to properly certify. He didn't even call Harry Reid about his retirement until after the news broke in the media. You know what? That's the thing. I think we have to be bipartisan in our scorn of quitters like Sarah Palin or Evan Bayh. It's like he just noticed that things have gotten partisan. And I'm sorry, but one of the reasons they've gotten partisan is because Democrats like him don't stand up for things the Democrats got elected for.
Yep.
Correct?
Yep.
I mean, it's just that's the problem. I love these, you know, the analysis of this. It's, oh, you know, it's the conservative Democrats' view that the party's gone too far left. Far left? We haven't gotten anything done yet.
Yeah.
Because they haven't stood up for things that people voted for Barack Obama and Democrats for. Evan Bayh yesterday.
For some time, I've had a growing conviction that Congress is not operating as it should. There is much too much partisanship and not enough progress.
He went on to talk about, he said 2 weeks ago the Senate voted down a bipartisan commission to deal with one of the greatest threats facing our nation, our exploding deficits and debt. The measure would have passed, but 7 members who had endorsed the idea instead voted no for short-term political reasons. Just last week, a major piece of legislation to create jobs, the public's top priority, fell apart amid complaints from both the left and the right. All of this and much more has led me to believe there are better ways to serve my fellow citizens, my beloved state and our nation, than continued service in Congress. You know what I'm saying, Chris? It's just what he's done, but the way he's done it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all we need now is people to give up in the face of that. It's like what we need is Democrats. How many times do we hear this? And I heard it yesterday. I was listening to Ed Schultz's show and other. And people are pissed. They're like, you don't quit. You stay in there and you fight. And you.
Absolutely.
Because you're right. This is going to be a tough a seat now in Indiana because it's a
it makes them look like
area.
It makes them look like a wuss now. A complete wuss.
It obviously is a decision which imperils his party's hold on the seat. His stunning decision came as he geared up for what may have been the most difficult campaign in an otherwise gilded political life. Well, that's politics, you know?
Yes.
That's exactly what Sarah Palin did. Oh, gee, I just realized you betcha it's really hard to govern here in Alaska there. Bye-bye.
All right. Mm-hmm. Take care now. Bye-bye, then. Loser.
Oh, that's what I hate the whole comparison to Ronald Reagan, because as much as I don't agree with a lot of what he did, he didn't quit. When nope. California is not easy to govern, by the way. Is it governator? But he didn't quit. 29 minutes after the hour. Your thoughts and ours on all this. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I found I couldn't sleep last night, so in order to pass the time, I started to make a list of things that annoy me more than...
Stephanie Miller.
Anyway, I came up with people who call Wednesdays hump day, and of course all Sandra Bullock movies...
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. It's Tuesday. You know what that means. It's Charlie Pierce Day.
Yay!
Author extraordinaire of Idiot America and from the Boston Globe. Humorist extraordinaire Charlie Pierce coming up in about an hour, 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. You'll have to put up the calls. I don't have them in my 1-2 account.
Yeah, you do. Okay.
Okay.
We have Don in Detroit.
Hello, Don.
Hi, Steph.
Hi, go ahead.
Did anybody ever consider that Evan Bayh might have done this on purpose and waited as long as he could, you know, till the last minute so the Democrats wouldn't be able to get a viable candidate and get somebody in there that could win the seat?
Well, I would ask why.
Because he's not really a Democrat. I mean, just because he's got a D in front of his name doesn't mean he's a Democrat.
Yeah, yeah.
He's a Republican in Democrat clothing.
Yeah, well, exactly. He's one of those conservative Dems that, in my opinion, is just as big a problem as the Republicans Congress.
In some cases, worse. And, you know, I kind of think that's what happened. So.
Yeah, all right, honey. Thank you. All right. Until Monday morning, Bayh gave no hint he was thinking about giving up his Senate seat. Just the opposite. He had nearly $13 million on hand, had taken up a new role as the de facto head of the Senate moderate rump group.
The rump group?
Yeah, that's what it's called. It means ass hat.
so it's the Senate's version of the Blue Dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And let's see, and blah, 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 blah. And Democratic operatives in Washington and Indiana had already launched a withering series of attacks against former Senator Dan Coats, whose seat Bayh took when the Republican retired in 98, who had begun exploring taking him on earlier this month. He becomes the fifth Democratic senator to retire, a decision that puts his party already facing a tough election year in a difficult position. But Chris, what the timing, you know, a political hand like him, he doesn't realize that that's a really tough position to be in, that someone's got to get the signatures in by Friday.
Oh, he knew
it's
exactly
Tuesday.
What he was doing. Someone really, really pissed him off.
He's
getting back at someone.
It'll be hard enough for Democrats to hold the seat in conservative-leaning Indiana. Democrats will be forced to come up with a lesser-known replacement. Attention turned to a couple of House Democrats, Barron Hill and Brad Ellsworth. But, you know, then this is always the problem, Chris. It's like this domino effect, right? If they leave their seats to run for Senate, then we could lose those House Democratic seats. I love this line in the story. It illustrates both the deepening fears among Democrats about the shape of the election cycle. Is that what Democrats do best at this point? Be afraid?
That's what Democrats have always done best.
Ugh, and the frustration among moderates that the party had veered too far to the left. Oh, please. Stunned Democratic officials said it was a last-minute personal decision. Bayh was polling as recently as last week and enjoying a sizable lead that had already gathered the petitions necessary to be on the ballot this fall. Joe in the Hammond, Indiana, Bayh's home state. Hello, Joe.
Yeah, hi. I think one of the reasons might be that the tea packers were calling him a communist and a socialist. I mean, the son of Birch Bayh, come on. You know, he was too right for me, and they're calling him a communist.
Yeah. Well, that's the problem is, you know, Sean Hannity, like I say, is always going to call you names. You might as well do the right thing.
That's all they got is name calling.
I know.
It seems to work. I don't know.
I hear you. Carmen in Atlanta, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on Evan Bayh as well. Hey, Carmen.
Hey, Stephanie. Evan Bayh is a whiny tool. He is ticked because he didn't get selected to be vice president.
Right.
He was on the short list, remember? And,
yep. Well, a couple of times, right?
Right, right, right. And I think he's just been kind of laying in wait, waiting for the opportunity to be the tool he is, you know, and just mess up Obama's plan.
Yep.
I don't know. That's what I think.
Yep, I hear you, honey. All right, let's go to Dave in Chicago. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Dave.
Hey, you know, I've got a slightly different take on Evan Bayh. My cousin was at IU with him, and she said that even when he'd walk through the hallways, he was already a politician, you know, glad-handing and doing the politician wave. So even when he was in his teens and 20s, he was preparing for a political future. I called his office today, first thing, and I said, look, you know, I'm glad he's resigned. I said, because now he has the ability to act like a true Democrat. He's not beholden to any of the corporate interests that have been funding him so far, and maybe in his final months as a senator, he can do the right thing.
Yeah, wouldn't that be something?
Yeah, not likely, but it would be nice.
Yeah, all right. Thank you, Dave. All right. Senator Evan Bayh yesterday making his announcement.
I have not detected a level of anger and cynicism about the federal government in my lifetime as high as it is today.
See, okay. Am I wrong, Chris? That's why there's such a level of cynicism and anger, because they're not getting anything done.
Exactly.
And it is, yes, largely because of this unprecedentedly obstructionist Republican Party today, but it is also because of, you know,
wussy Democrats,
conservatives like him. Yeah, exactly. Senator Bayh.
I love helping our citizens make the most of their lives, but I do not love Congress.
Who does, for God's
sake? Well, then why did you get in?
Oh, Lord. All right. He's talking about being an executive at heart as well.
I am an executive at heart. I value my independence. I am not motivated by strident partisanship or ideology. These traits may be useful in many walks of life, but unfortunately they are not highly valued in Congress.
I don't know, Chris. I guess in some ways I am most amazed at these conservadems like him, these blue dogs, that you think, don't you get it? This was an unprecedented landslide in Democratic majorities, like the president said, that we haven't had in generations.
Right.
And they don't take anything from that? They don't realize they're being as obstructionist as the Republicans are? That, you know, that's the one comment that you have to take to heart, that it isn't just Republicans we haven't gotten health care done.
Right.
You know, it's because Democrats couldn't get our together because of people like Evan Bayh. Evan Bayh yesterday.
My passion for service to our fellow citizens is undiminished, but my desire to do so by serving in Congress has waned.
You know, John Podesta was talking about this. It is. It's like all these backroom deals they had to make with people like Ben Nelson and these conservative Democrats that they were holding the issue hostage as much as Republicans were.
Right. That's what destroyed it. That's what kind of turned me against it. It's all these backroom deals.
Landrieu, you know, and Nelson and
exactly.
Evan Bayh one more time.
My decision should not be interpreted for more than it is. A very difficult, deeply personal one.
So a Bloomington, Indiana restaurant owner who had been running an obscure and uphill challenge against Evan Bayh claimed Monday that she's just 1,000 signatures short of qualifying for the ballot. And Democrats there, Chris, are basically a brick.
Yeah.
Over this, Tamara is her name?
Yeah.
Dipolito. Tamara.
Dipolito, I think.
Dipolito. She is a political neophyte who said she's running in part to take on a party establishment she said practices sexism with a big S.
Oh, boy.
A leading Democrat in the state said this would be a complete and unmitigated disaster. We'd be up creek. I don't know anything about her, but it is tough being not having any a name value or any
right.
experience for that particular seat.
You know who would be a great senator from the great state of Indiana?
Who's that?
John Mellencamp.
Oh, no way. He's the official male rock star of the Stephanie Miller Show.
He certainly is. And his name has been bandied about in the last 12 hours.
And he's the only candidate that would be allowed to use John Mellencamp songs on the campaign trail without
That's
being sued by John
right.
Mellencamp.
That is right.
Yeah, he's one of the many people that are musicians that have told Republicans, yeah, you know what, I'd really rather that you don't use my music.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you're kind of a Republican weed. Yeah, I'd really prefer if you didn't. Thanks.
But you know what? He's very smart.
I know.
He knows his stuff. He's very political. He was on our show, and he was delightful.
Wouldn't this be an awesome idea if in 2012, Chris, the official male rock star and the official female rock star of the Stephanie Miller Show ran for president? Mellencamp Etheridge in 2012.
Why not?
Woo!
Why not Etheridge Mellencamp?
Thank you.
Okay.
I was practicing sexism there with a capital S.
Yes, you were.
All right, I'm just saying. We're just throwing out names, throwing out ideas. Oh, that's an awesome idea. He has been very politically active, right?
He has. He really has.
Yeah.
And he's right on every issue.
Everyone in little pink houses would vote for him. All right. That was fairly lame. Okay.
Even Jack and Diane would vote for him. Sorry.
All right. That's it. That's enough. Okay. We've run out of songs now. Okay. Wow. Speaking of politics, why do people keep talking to Joe the Plumber? Why? Why?
Well, he's kind of turned.
Poor Joe McKay, I know. He's turned on his His benefactor.
Yeah.
Oh, John McCain has given us Sarah Palin and Joe the Plumber.
Ugh.
That's the bulk of what he's done for us. Poor John McCain. Not even his imaginary friend Joe the Plumber likes him anymore. Joe, as who you'll recall, he's neither a Joe or a plumber.
Right.
Discuss. Is making waves in where else? The Tea Party circuit this year by endorsing candidates in the upcoming midterm elections. Okay, you are the biggest dope in the universe if you vote for someone because Joe the Plumber says so. Anyway, he said, I don't know McCain. He really screwed my life up is how I look at it. Yeah, except that no one would know who the hell you are if it weren't for John McCain or care.
Yeah, you wouldn't have gotten a book deal or anything.
He said, McCain was trying to use me. Oh, wah, wah, wah.
Oh, who doesn't?
I happened to be the face of middle Americans. It was a ploy.
Whatever.
All right, whatever, Mr. Clean. He said he also, oh, this is going to sting. He doesn't support Sarah Palin anymore either. Why? Because she's backing John McCain's reelection effort, and he said John McCain is no public servant.
So
he called the 2008 Republican nominee a career politician, which apparently he just noticed now.
I wonder if he's going to campaign for J.D. Hayworth. Oh, my God, that would be so much fun.
What a dope fest that would be. All right, 45, yikes. 45 minutes after the hour, Dick Cheney opened his creepy crooked mouth again, so you know what that means, Chris.
What?
He lied. Oh. We'll have that for you. He opened his mouth, therefore he lied. We will, he speaks, therefore he lies. We'll be back with that next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
God, what did you have for breakfast this morning? Carnation instant bitch?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Man for lunch? No, I had man for breakfast. I can't.
You had a man for breakfast?
No, 50 minutes after the
hour. You had a man waiting for you.
That's because as soon as I found out Broadway doesn't go for booze and dope.
Oh, okay.
Dopes.
It doesn't go for dopes either.
Either way, it's not good news for me. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Stephanie and Madison on Evan Bye. Hey, Steph.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Boy, what a loser this Bye guy is. I mean, for him to quit right now of all the times. And
yep.
I don't care if he's creeped out about Congress or whatever. So, you know, yesterday you were using that little spitball machine, I thought you could load it with, like, garbage and just shoot stuff at by and his head. And then it also Amy Winehouse, because she's a loser with her cats going through the shelter. So
exactly. Wow, that was just a whole little screed you had ready there.
I know.
Yeah, I mean, Stephanie, the thing that it just annoys me the most is, like, I keep making the point, but, you know, when you hear this, oh, it's because the Democratic Party's gone too far left, it's because they have not gone far left enough. They have not done what on issue after issue the American people elected them to do.
Exactly, and that's why we're upset. We're pulling our hair out because, no, not because you're too far left. It's because you're not doing anything and you're going right and being – don't go towards the right. I mean, and there's a lot
yes,
of
don't go towards the right. Go towards the light. Go to
yes,
the light.
The light, the light.
Thank you, Staffy. Yeah. All right. Sue and – lots of people have to get – have Evan Bye stuck in their craw this morning.
Yeah.
Sue in Rockville, Maryland. Hey, Sue, welcome.
Hey, good morning. You know, don't overlook Susan Bye, his wife. She used mm-hmm. to sit on 8 corporate boards, but she left WellPoint and E-Trade
oh.
after making nice pieces of change.
And WellPoint, of course, is the owner of Blue Cross Blue Shield Anthem.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah.
And they've been pocketing millions, and his, if you go to opensecrets.org, his two major contributors are the insurance companies and lobbyists.
Yep.
So
yep.
This guy,
he's like a little
chill.
Mini Lieberman.
He's a corporate shill. He's not for the people, and he's just a lying sack of crap, and we're well rid of him.
All right. Thank you, honey. That's my cue.
You're a lying sack of crap.
It's for you, Evan Bye.
You're a lying sack of crap. You're a lying, scheming, stinky, nasty sack of liquid crap.
We don't often unleash that on a Democrat.
No.
But there. Ha. Valerie in South Bend, home of Touchdown Jesus. Hello, Valerie.
Hello, Steph. You know,
go Notre Dame. My dad and my brother went to Notre Dame.
Oh, good for you.
And
I'm
my niece.
Because of my husband.
Oh.
All right, go ahead.
But anyway, I just wanted to echo what your previous caller had said, that Evan Bay really is not for the people. He is for his corporate interests. I wrote a letter to the editor of the South Bend Tribune back in, I don't know, it must have been July when all those crazy town hall meetings were going
mm-hmm.
on.
Mm-hmm.
Evan Bay had the audacity, and I'll refrain from using expletives, to run a commercial endorsing bipartisan reform for health care that was sponsored by the Pharmaceutical Manufacturers of America.
Yep, yep, I know.
If you watched the trailer, it said paid for by, you know, the pharma alliance.
Right.
And, I mean, he's been a horrible representative anyway.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, you can call his office, you can write to his office.
Well, it's like Joe Lieberman, you know, on record on the campaign trail is getting, you know, universal health for everybody, getting a public option for Connecticut. They say what they have to say to get connected, you know, to get elected, and then they cash their checks.
Yeah,
you know,
it's just unbelievable. And Robin Williams did a stand-up routine this summer, and he was great because he had said that just like the NASCAR drivers who have to put their sponsors on their cars, Congress elected officials should have to wear the their sponsors on their jackets. I think
I said that first. Robin Williams steals from everybody, but thank you. I appreciate that. I'll be waiting for that check.
Yeah,
Ralph,
you said that like a year ago,
yeah,
at least.
Yeah. Ralph in Boston here on the Stephanie Miller Show. Yeah, why am I? I'm ahead of Howard Stern on the Heavy 100 Talkers list, Chris. And yeah. What the hell do I make? 600 million? No.
Okay, oh, God, no.
Just a little less. Hello, Ralph in Boston.
Good morning.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I think it's over. For the party, I don't understand why the Democratic National Committee doesn't put somebody up to run in Evan Bay's seat, but I think
we had a better idea this morning, John Mellencamp.
Well, you know something? He's a very popular individual. He definitely is progressive leaning, and I mean name recognition is everything.
Right.
So you know something? Maybe people should push him. But
mm-hmm.
I have to say that Obama, he should have just hit the ground running as far as the health care issue, and he didn't. And he waffled, he blinked, and I hate to say it, but it's over.
Oh, well, now let's not get all droopy.
No,
I mean,
but here's the reality.
You know, that's exactly my point about Evan Bay. You got to fight, and we'd have to fight. You can't lay down and die. You can't quit. You know, that's exactly that would be the point I take from this, is not to say it's over, but to you know, let it reinvigorate you.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong. Politics is like telling a joke, and it's timing, and I don't know. You know, I'd like to see a public option on health insurance, but I
me too. Well, let's wait and see what this, you know, this look, this, you know, televised healthcare meeting is about, and then let's make our voices heard one more time. Let's give it one last try. Thank you, Ralph. I appreciate it. I'm a happy clappy liberal, but I'm not. That's exactly my point. Is I'm not the lay down and die kind of liberal. I'm not just going to go, oh well, now it's over. Lost the House, poo. Going to lose the Senate, too.
Just because it was a blustery day.
Hey, how about Kevin Bacon? Is he from Indiana, or is that just where Footloose was? I know, I have his dog walker. I could get to Kevin Bacon. Why am I thinking that? Was that movie in
No, it was
Indiana?
In Utah.
Footloose?
Yes.
No.
Yes, it was.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, I thought it was in one more Midwestern conservative.
No, Stephanie.
Wasn't it a farmland kind of...
They farm in Utah.
Preacher's father? Okay. All right, let's go to... you know me. I'm a little scattershot with my movie references.
Yeah, you are.
Dave and Joyzy on Evan Bay. Hi, Dave.
Hi, how are you, Stephanie?
Good.
I think Evan Bay did us all a favor as Democrats by waiting until the last minute, because take your example of John Cougar Mellencamp as a viable candidate. If he had gone out of the race earlier, there would have been a primary fight. And in the primary fight, we wouldn't have had an opportunity to select the very best candidate to run against the Republican. So
mm-hmm.
now the Democrats can pick and choose among the very best candidates. Mellencamp wouldn't even have been on the table had there been
mm-hmm.
a primary fight among lesser knowns who would have gone down to defeat. Now, I don't know whether Bay was smart enough or loyal enough to do it, but who cares?
Mm-hmm.
I think it helps
mm-hmm.
us anyway.
By the way, Dave, he's no cougar anymore. I would be the cougar on that campaign if he were to run. There's no more cougar.
I didn't mean cougar in the sense that you mean cougar, but I thought I had said Mellencamp. I don't think of you as a
Mellencamp. Just John Mellencamp now. Thank you.
Just,
all right.
You're just campy.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Dave. No, I would be the cougar, right, in that campaign, because I would go campaign for him if he ran, because he's the official rock star of the Stephanie Miller Show.
You could be the cougar.
So it would be John Mellencamp and cougar would be the thing that I'd be the...
Something tells me he wouldn't go for that.
Why did he get rid of the cougar, I wonder?
Because that was a name that was forced upon him by the record company.
Oh, okay. All right, 58, you know everything. 58
yes, I do.
Minutes after the hour. Back with another edition of Oh, That Dick. Janie, as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Uh-oh, the Dow is up 63 points. Good news for America, bad news for Republicans. U.S. retail sales opened the year with a bigger-than-expected bounce. Oh, no, recovery from the recession gaining momentum.
Oh, no.
This hour of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by Identity Guard, making it okay to trust again. Go to identityguard.com, won't you?
And no Yuri. No Yuri.
Excuse me?
I love those ads.
Those commercials for Identity Guard.
Thank you.
Yes.
Okay, sorry.
Hey, Mellencamp Etheridge, that'd be like paper and fire.
Hey!
You missed one.
Jim Ward is loaded for bear this morning, ladies and gentlemen, right out of the gate.
Good buddy,
oh,
everybody.
And the live blog is three words. Senator David Letterman, just saying.
I think he might have a few too many skeletons in his closet for that.
He's already got his sex scandal out of the way. Why not?
Yeah, but doesn't he, like, live in Connecticut and then also in Montana? I don't think he's been an Indiana resident for a long time.
That doesn't matter. Okay. Listen, we're just spitballing here. There's no wrong answers on the Stephanie Miller Show. It's T-ball. StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lavoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Don't forget, Mama, I'll be on with David Schuster for the first time today on MSNBC at 3:30 Eastern Time.
Cool.
I know he makes me giddy, Jim. I'm going to have to try not to be giggly. All right. By the way, Julie in Seattle writes, morning, Steph. Okay, Dick Cheney and all you other national security genius right-wing asshats, tell us what's wrong with this, you giant morons. U.S. and Pakistani intelligence forces just captured the head boss of the Taliban. Yeah, Dick.
Proves that the Democrats are soft on terrorism.
No, it doesn't.
And if you don't like it,
you can just go yourselves.
In fact, he's one of the Taliban leaders who was actually caught back in 2001. I didn't know this, but was let loose after intervention by Pakistan, George Bush.
Yeah.
And Dick. Sadly for Dick and crew, whatever they're doing in Afghani-Pakistani land seems to be going quite well. They'd catch Osama bin Hoo-ha, too, if he weren't already dead and all.
Yeah.
Julie in Seattle with some thoughts.
Osama bin Hoo-ha?
I hope he is still alive just so we can get him and parade him out in front of Bush and Cheney.
Yeah.
See, this is what you should have done.
Just bring him out like King Kong, exactly. It's at the next...
But then chains,
right? He'll climb the Empire State Building, and Fay Wray will be screaming. And
yeah, exactly. Obama can have him on a leash climbing the Empire State Building. Right. Yeah, take that,
I don't
Dick.
Think he'll make it up the Empire State
What do you think about that as for a terror trial in New York?
But then we couldn't have gone into Iraq, you see, without him hanging out there as the boogeyman.
You know, Jim, Dick Cheney spoke yesterday, and so you know what that means. He lied.
Hello, he lied. Yeah.
I just, you know, Chris, did I have to, sometimes I go through the sound bites and I ask you, I'm like, what? Okay, but that's not true. See, I still have, isn't that magical, Jim? I still have that, like, but maybe this is a misprint, Chris. Maybe you wrote this incorrectly on the sound bite list.
He would never lie like that, would he?
But that's not true, is it?
Dick Cheney said it, ergo, not
this
true.
This is the Dick on ABC's This Week.
It's the mindset that concerns me, John. I think it's very important to go back and keep in mind the distinction between handling these events as criminal acts, which is the way we did before 9/11, and then looking at 9/11 and saying this is not a criminal act, not when you destroy 16 acres of Manhattan, kill 3,000 Americans, blow a big hole in the Pentagon. That's an act of war.
Yeah. No, the criminal act was you letting it happen. Dillweed.
Dillweed. Oh, dillweed has been thrown out for the first time this morning.
Where was the Air Force, Dick? What happened to the Air Force on 9/11? Huh? Answer that.
What? Okay, but what I was getting to is the basic how that's a big fat. What's the word I'm looking for?
Yes.
No, it wasn't. They didn't try them as criminal acts before 9/11. They tried them after 9/11 in criminal courts as well.
Yeah,
209
yes.
of mm-hmm. them, including Richard Reed.
Right.
Wait, that's just a... Why?
And no one called him on it, right?
No.
Thank you.
Of course.
Who was that? John Liu on ABC?
Jonathan Carl? Or... don't quote me on that. Never
right.
mind.
I mean, that's just patently untrue. He's like, oh, well, after 9/11, yes, we treated these as criminal things before 9/11, but after 9/11, everything changed. No.
No, it didn't.
No.
And, of course,
it was Jonathan Carl, yes.
The liberal media sat on its hands and said nothing.
Yep.
I mean, seriously, I'm just a fart joke comedian. Wouldn't you have gone, well, you know,
how about
Dick.
A follow-up? That's a lie. It's a big fat lie.
That's interesting because the Bush administration tried 209 terrorists in criminal trial, including Richard Reed, the shoe bomber.
No, they didn't. No.
Yes.
No, they didn't.
Yes, Dick.
No.
Yes.
They
did.
You like
You're
your
lying.
House?
You're lying.
Be ashamed of someone that happened to your nice house. And your car.
Which house?
And your wife.
Oh, boy. All right. Joe Biden on Meet the Press shooting back.
We've eliminated 12 of their top 20 people. We have taken out 100 of their associates. We've sent them underground. They are, in fact, not able to do anything remotely like they were in the past. They are on the run. I don't know where Dick Cheney has been. Look, it's one thing, again, to criticize. It's another thing to sort of rewrite history. What is he talking about?
What's your point?
The debating Dick Cheney on terrorism, the Obama White House says it's happy to do that any time. One White House official said, we've never engaged in chess beating on what we're doing. No, we've just gotten results. That's what we've done.
Right.
But this dynamic where we're responding to criticism from the former vice president gave us the opportunity to explain what we're doing without just going out and talking tough. A Washington Post poll released last week found that 56% approve of the way the president is handling the threat of terrorism, making it Obama's strongest core issue. So whatever Dick is doing is clearly not working. How about this one, Jim? Did you hear this one? So you remember Joe Biden when he was on Larry King, he said, I'm optimistic about Iraq. I think it's going to be one of the great achievements of this administration. And, of course, he meant the withdrawal. He didn't mean getting us into the unnecessary and illegal war. He said he noted the withdrawal of American troops, something that conservatives for years have said would be a disaster, has gone very well, which it has. On ABC's This Week, the same show we just were playing a clip from, Dick Cheney further distorted Biden's comments and took credit for a withdrawal plan he had opposed, saying Biden should be thanking George Bush.
What? Thank George Bush for starting the war that he can then withdraw from.
What? This is pineapple upside down world. Cheney's attempt to take credit for the withdrawal represents a total turnaround. Just last summer, he worried that Iraq withdrawal will waste all the tremendous sacrifice of U.S. troops. He has long fear-mongered on the implication of U.S. withdrawal from Iraq during the 2008 campaign. He called demands from Democrats in Congress for a timetable an act of betrayal. Remember that?
No, I didn't. It wasn't me.
Yes, you did.
Some other guy.
I have it on tape.
Not me. It's my doppelganger.
See, I guess Jim
is... Got him locked up in my... bunker.
Jim is aptly illustrating how, I suppose, if anyone in the mainstream media did challenge him, that's what he would do.
Yeah.
He would just, no, I didn't. Yeah, he did. I mean, that's the one we always play that we have on tape, where the poor woman did try to say, no, I think we have that. He's like, no, you don't.
You have said in the past that it was, quote, pretty well confirmed.
No, I never said that.
Never okay.
Said that.
I
never
think
said
that
it.
Is.
Never said that. Absolutely not. What I said was, the Czech intelligence service reported after 9/11 that Atta had been in Prague on April 9th of 2001, where he allegedly met with an Iraqi intelligence official. We have never been able to confirm that, nor have we been able to knock it down.
Also wrong.
It's been pretty well confirmed that he did go to Prague and he did meet with a senior official of the Iraqi intelligence service in Czechoslovakia last April.
If by... pretty well confirmed. You mean the FBI said he was in Virginia at the time? I'm guessing yes. Langley, Virginia.
Which Prague sounds so much like Virginia. Yeah, it's. I can see where that would. There's just a. I mean, for God's sakes, we've made montages out of his lies, Jim. It's just. That's the thing. He doesn't even care when he gets caught on tape.
It wasn't me. It was a hologram.
You know what? I think that may be his next try. It was not me. It was a hologram. All right. So, yeah, I don't know what to make of this. What do you call it? Who is this? It's not Mullah Omar, the Taliban guy, but it's the guy under him, right? It's always the number two they get, right? You think they'd be smarter than to take the number two job.
Mullah Malamar, I think.
Malamar?
Pardon me? Malamar? It's Mullah. it's Mullah Smore, I believe, was his technical title. But, yeah, I mean, when that news broke yesterday, I thought, oh, good news for America, bad news for the Republicans. Now what are they going to do with their week on terror, storyline that they've been putting out there forever?
Damn it. Mullah Abdul Ghani Baradar.
Ghani Baradar?
Oh, good. He's good. Okay, thanks for clarifying.
No
that
problem.
Guy. Uh-huh. Okay.
You ask for info, I bring it.
Yes, indeed. All right. speaking of trouble spots, foreign trouble spots, Hillary Clinton, Secretary of State, yesterday talking about Iran.
We see that the government of Iran, the supreme leader, the president, the parliament, is being supplanted and that Iran is moving toward a military dictatorship.
Oh, that's not good news. Right, Jim?
Your solution is to start bombing and kill all those civilians that we saw on the TV?
We're
going to kill more of them. Make have like a million Nedas.
Yeah. Oh,
on our
I
hands.
Know exactly. And I don't think that's what she was saying. She said, "I'm not predicting what will happen, but I think the trend with this greater and greater military lock on leadership decisions should be disturbing to Iranians as well as those of us on the outside." All right. That's a good point, Jim. The million Nedas. It's like. You'd be seeing just that footage over and over again.
We wouldn't be seeing that footage of people killed by our bombs, though.
Yeah, I know. All right.
Press.
Kids, I need my, can I have my unsolicited testimonial music, please, before we continue with Right Wing World and more? Julie in Seattle, old woman has P90X questions.
What?
Dear Stephanie and Chris. All right, already. You two have convinced me to join the Stephanie Miller P90X Challenge and magically get ship shape in only 90 days. So last night, I whisk aside the cat toys and dust balls and pull my P90X box out from under the bed, where it's been since I pulled my back out just thinking about doing a chin-up, recalling the burning shame of failing every 70s presidential fitness test event, except the 50-yard dash. Year after humiliating year was just too much for me, so my question for you is P90 experts. Can a middle-aged woman in okay shape, but almost as old as Stephanie Miller, skip the chin-ups and still get P90X ripped in time to go cougaring this summer? Why, Julie, thank you for asking. Yes, indeed. In fact, Chris, I have privately expressed to you my trepidation of the chin-up.
Yes.
As I said to you, I'm a girl. I have no upper body strength.
I can't do chin-ups either.
Well, when I was a kid, I couldn't do a single chin-up, and I had to not do a single chin-up in front of the entire class, and so that was traumatic for me.
Well, because that's when you were a little fatty in Lederhosen.
Well, I didn't wear
in Virginia.
I wore tough skins when I was that fat.
At any rate, no, but that's the whole point of P90X, you see, is it's progressive, as you may not be able to do it at first, but you will work your way up to it. I had the same fear, based on my experiences with the presidential fitness exam in school as well. For God's sakes, we went to Catholic school. All we did was, like, knock over milk cartons with bean bags. We didn't do anything that required physical stamina of any sort. So anyway, I share your fear, but no, that's the point, is you can start, and then we will work our way up to chin-ups together.
There's
I take my help.
There's other things you can do.
Exactly. Exactly. Right. And you don't ever get bored. It changes every day. It includes strength training, cardio, yoga. There's all kinds of stuff you can do and work your way up to the chin-ups later. You won't get bored. You won't get overuse injuries. Seriously, how many of you have gym memberships you're not using or equipment gathering dust? I'm going to take the P90X challenge, post my results online. I challenge you to do it, too. And how about this? The 90-day radio exclusive in-home trial. You can try it for the full 90 days. If you aren't completely satisfied, return it for a refund. What do you have to lose? Just your huskiest, just your husky boyness or girlness. Call 800-509-9438. That's 800-509-9FIT. That's easy. 800-509-9FIT. Or go to stephaniemiller.com right now. Click on the banner ad. P90X. Do it now. 19 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Eek. I just spewed on my dashboard again. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Oh, yeah.
Check me out. I'm in every 80s movie. Hello. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Oh, it's the cool car. 24 minutes after the hour. Vic in Minneapolis in our brand new segment, Vic on Dick. Cheney. Hey, hello, Vic. Yes.
You know what? This Dick Cheney incident on him on Meet the Press and all that, it reminds, it's not really him that's the problem. It's the Democratic Party that's the problem. I'll tell you why. It's sort of the Democratic Party and their fear of attacking back at these guys. It reminds me of a middle-aged guy that sees blood in his stool and never does anything about it, just hopes that it goes
must
away.
We during breakfast? All right.
And I tell you what, just having Joe Biden, he did a nice comeback, but the thing about it is, like, that comeback is like giving tetracycline to a guy that has cancer. It's not going to do much. You got to get back at these guys like Bill Clinton did every time. Bill Clinton had a whole division just watching the news, and he had a comeback 2 or 3 days after anybody said anything negative. The people in this administration don't understand that they want to see this president fail, and they wouldn't mind seeing him dead. And as soon as Obama realizes it's not going to be any bipartisan stuff, then he'll be a successful president.
Yep, I hear you, Vic. Thank you. Jim, I think you made that analogy. It's like Indiana Jones. He has to, you know, it's like... He has to stop with the, I don't know, what's the guy that's doing all the fancy nunchucks and just shoot them? You know what I'm saying? I mean, politically speaking.
The sword.
Yeah. Exactly.
It was not in East Asia. Nunchucks. It wouldn't have been nunchucks.
And I don't think he had a name.
Exactly. You know, I don't mean this segue in any way to imply that Harry Reid is weak in any way. But, you know, Jim, it looks like he's going to face a teabagging in Nevada.
I would prefer not to be teabagged. I also, I'm not a fan of the Angry Dragon or the Dirty Sanchez.
Oh, dude!
Oh, Jim Louise Ward. He, Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid, has a new challenger in his 2010 re-election campaign. It isn't a Republican, it's a teabagger. The president, here's the weird twist, though.
What?
The presence of a third-party conservative in the race could draw votes from the Republican nominee, potentially benefiting Reid, who has, of course, consistently been trailing in the polls.
That could be the Democrats...
He could be saved by a teabag.
Yeah, that could be the...
Much like Charlie Crist.
The Democrats saving grace across the country in 2010 and 2012.
Right, like in upstate New York.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So that's something, you know, that's something to look forward to, I suppose.
Yes. Yes, in lieu of growing a set of brass ones, I guess he could just, by luck... He could magically find himself.
Oh, I sure hope so. I could use a spot of luck.
You certainly could, Harry. All right.
I've been down so long, it seems like up to me.
Jim, did it annoy you as much as it did me, the whole Evan Bayh thing? They're going, oh, well, you know, it's a lot of these moderate Democrats, it's, you know, they just think the Democrats have gone
too far to the left. And you know what this is? This is the insurance companies pushing back. You know, but having this phony populism that everyone responds to, oh, the country's moving to the right. We better do the same. It's nonsense. This is all the insurance companies trying to destroy health care reform.
Yeah, and it's
Evan
exactly.
Bayh, the, you know,
and it's blue dogs like Evan Bayh are the reason we haven't gotten this done, right?
Right.
Just irritating. Ugh. And you don't quit. You don't quit, for God's sakes.
Pulled a Sarah Palin.
What's that?
Well, not quite. Well, I mean, he's going to serve out his term.
Oh, right. Okay.
He's just not going to run again.
Yeah. All right. John Podesta, whom we know, who led President Obama's presidential transition, acknowledges the White House has been unable to successfully drive the debate on health care reform. He said they lost the narrative. They lost the perspective of how all the activity they were engaged in was knit together. And part of it, like I said, it's making these deals with conservadams like Ben Nelson and Mary Landrieu and... He said change is hard in America. We've all learned that over the last year. There's real frustration among independent voters and anger amongst independent voters. Voters have become discouraged, he said, by seeing no spirit in which people were having a reasonable conversation during the health care debate. And from the last twists and turns on health care, the special deals that had to be made in the Senate to get the 60 votes, asked how he would rate the health of the American political system, he responded simply, sucks. Sucks to be us.
Yeah, well...
He also went on to point out Obama is not dealing with the party of Lincoln anymore. He's dealing with the party of Palin, which is true dat, as they say.
Some people say that.
Some people say.
Some say. All right, 29 minutes after the hour, back with the Boston Globe writer and humorist extraordinaire Charlie Pierce next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I've seen pictures, and I'm sorry, that girl had a brow ridge like a caveman.
Tis true. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 34 minutes after the hour. It's Tuesday. Why don't we have a jingle? I feel so bad that Charlie Pierce, the funniest writer in the world, from the Boston Globe, author of Idiot America, do we have a jingle?
We don't have a jingle for Charlie.
Damn it, someone get on that. For free,
I'm sorry,
of course.
I am now returning to my trailer. I simply cannot work here.
We will get one for you, Charlie.
A trailer? I cannot work in this ambiance.
You're going to quit in mid-segment like Evan Bay.
I am, and you know what? People are going to miss me more than they're going to miss him.
Hey,
exactly.
What are your thoughts on that?
What a wiener.
Exactly.
I mean, I'm sorry, not only to do it, which is bad enough, and not only to do what he did as a senator, which is even worse, but to do it in such a way that you can't really run a primary or anything in Indiana. So somebody in the back room has to pick a candidate who you know is going to lose by 111% of the vote.
Yeah, that's exactly what I thought. What a wiener.
I have never been prouder of having worked on the Udall campaign in 1976 and having kicked Evan Bayh's father's butt all over New Hampshire than I am this week.
You know, but it's just like, I don't love Congress. It's like, oh, buck up. Come on.
No, it was worse than
who
that.
Who does?
It was Congress is hard. I'll tell you what. I will trade. I won't even do the job. I'll just trade my health care plan for his.
This
guy is walking away from health care reform after having spent who knows how long on a single-payer government-run health care system.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, Chris has been speculating wildly this morning that what the hell happened? Did somebody piss him off? Because, I mean, he really stuck it to them, and he didn't tell Harry Reid until the news broke in the press. Mm. He's given them – somebody would have to file by Friday. I mean, he gave every indication he was running again. What the hell happened?
It's worse than that. They have to get 500 signatures from every congressional district in Indiana in order to get on the ballot. Mm-hmm. Excuse me. Ooh.
Do you have a little cold, Charlie?
I am getting over the world's worst head cold.
You sound a little like Herbie the Dentist on Rudolph.
I sound a lot like Camille, actually. the election laws in Indiana apparently are insanely complicated, which means that, you know, nobody's going to be able to really cobble together a petition. And I mean, at the same time, I mean, his Republican opposition, Dan Coats, was self-destructing. I mean, there are so many ways in which this was a bad move. And the idea that anyone is taking his Congress is hard spiel seriously shows that we have a long way to go in understanding politics in this country. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is a guy who should be greeted with nothing but scorn today.
Well, I agree, but what do you think happened? I mean, what is it? That, I mean, because obviously he was giving every political signal that he was running, right? He was polling, he's raised money, he was, you know.
Well, he's got a ton of money. It may be that he's just mad enough to think that the party will turn to him in 2012. Which, you know, when I can barely say that without rolling around on the floor. But it may well be he's decided that nobody in Washington appreciates his genius, so he's going to go off and be a lobbyist for a couple of, you know, $1 billion a year. Mm-hmm. If I had to bet money, that's what's going to wind up happening. I don't think he wants to be governor again.
Right. I think what we were saying, Charlie, just irritates the bejesus out of us is this whole, well, moderate Dem, they just feel the party's gone too far to the left. Are you kidding? We haven't gotten anything done. What do you mean too far to the left? We haven't gone far to the left enough.
Not just that, but other than passing the Republican plan, what have they done that's so aggravated Evan Bayh?
Well, exactly. That's the problem. And to me, it's Democrats like Evan Bayh that have been just as obstructionist as the Republicans.
I mean, he should be lucky that he's got good old, you know, let's bring everyone together, Barack Obama as president. If you had Lyndon Johnson, you wouldn't be able to identify Evan Bayh with dental records.
Yeah.
I mean, my Lord, I just saw a feature, some sort of feature on how Johnson got the Civil Rights Act and the Voting Rights Act passed. He bit off people's noses. Including
he was the Ozzy Osbourne of the White of the Oval Office.
His best friend.
Right. Right.
I mean, this is the way you have to do things. If you are confronted, and please tell me that somebody in Washington understands that the other party is just a bunch of nihilistic vandals at this point.
Yep.
They're
I love this.
They're not doing anything.
And talk about
it. And it's succeeding wildly.
If only Democrats had even nearly the size of balls that insurance companies do. Did you see this? The California Anthem Blue Cross Blue Shield, you know, its subsidiary of WellPoint, announced recently it will be hiking premiums for customers in the individual market by up to 39%.
Yeah.
The looming hike, of course, unleashed a firestorm of criticism. On Fox News, of course, they lashed out at WellPoint for increasing rates, not because it'll be bad for people, just when it was safe to get out of the health care debate.
That was what I was going to bring up. How dare you guys give it away? Wait 6 months to be greedy, for God's sake. Don't do it immediately.
Right.
They literally, the host, uninterested in how increasing rates would affect customers and struggling families in California. Instead, they attacked them for re-energizing advocates for health reform, asking why the executive didn't take Wall Street's lead and wait for this to blow over and maybe a year from now raise rates.
We told you not to start gouging people again until next summer.
But, I mean, isn't that a perfect example why it's not time for Evan Bayh to quit? It's time to, you know, have this televised meeting and get health care done. If you have to use reconciliation or whatever.
As far as I'm concerned with the health insurance industry, it's time to bring back the stocks.
Yeah.
You know, you put these guys in the stocks and let people throw tomatoes at them.
Right.
The notion that there's any compromise available now.
Right.
It's just ludicrous. I don't on any issue anywhere.
I know, Charlie. What's your take on the filibuster? I know that Rachel Maddow's been on a bit of a tear about it because it's.
Oh, by the way,
the problem is we were making the analogy yesterday about dodgeball that you're not supposed to hit people in the head, but it's like But technically, it's the rules, but it's just they are abusing this rule to such a degree, these Republicans, that what do you do?
Well, I mean, it's interesting. Again, I'm working on what may or may not be a book that has a lot to do with one particular filibuster. So I've been looking at it pretty strenuously. And I'm of two minds about it because I really don't want there to be not to be a filibuster if the Senate goes the other way. Next fall. I really don't want that to happen. But at the same time, I mean, the one thing the Republicans did, and they did this under Gingrich and they did this under DeLay, and they're doing this now as a minority, which is really kind of a spectacular move, is that the Senate and the House and Congress in general operates by certain unspoken rules. We're all in this together. You know, we'll pat you on the back. They just blew those up.
Right. It's a minority veto is what it is, right?
Exactly,
I mean, it's ridiculous.
And, and then you recall, of course, that when the Democrats were threatening to filibuster all of the, unibrows that the Bush people were trying to put on the federal courts, we had to have a bipartisan coalition where we promised we would keep the filibuster but never use it.
Yep.
I mean, it's another one. It's another one of those things that makes my head explode. I don't think that you're going to wind up watching these guys change their rules. Yeah, because the Republicans won't go along with that either.
Yeah.
Even if it's to their advantage, they won't go along with that. But I think that the only way to do it at this point, and I'm not parliamentarian enough to know how to do this, is you got to make them stand up and actually do it once.
Mm-hmm.
That jobs bill, an energy bill, something that's a popular thing that people want. You got to make these guys get up and put the urine bag down one leg and stand there for 8 days.
Except that
what you're capitulating to is not the filibuster, but the threat of a filibuster.
As Harry Reid, as imagined by Jim Ward, says, though, that would be rude.
Yeah, what are they going to do? What are they going to argue back to me? That we can't let them actually filibuster because the Senate might ground to a halt?
Yeah, we might not get anything done then.
Nothing might pass. What would we do?
Yeah. It gives Harry Reid the heebie-jeebies. It would just be so rude.
Yeah, I mean, just, make them stand up and do it. Make they got young guys. They got Scott Brown. He could probably go for 6 or 7 hours.
I'm sorry,
Mitch McConnell.
I'm sorry, Harry, were you trying to say something?
No, I'm just sitting here in the corner. It'd be best if I didn't say anything.
Harry's just sort of fading, isn't he?
He really is.
We were saying yesterday, though, seriously, like Jim does his voice and then we play a clip. It's exactly the same. It's not an exaggeration. He really does sound that weenie.
He's one of those Star Trek energy beings who is sort of fading out. I've been on the planet too long without a woman.
I mean, in the meantime, you've got...
I'm sorry,
Republicans
you have to see
like
this.
Yes, it's very unattractive, Harry. On the other side, you've got the Dick Cheneys of the world that are just all balls and no facts. I mean, you'd think, like, the fact that we just caught this, you know, the Taliban leader, it's proof enough that, you know, we are prosecuting the war on terror. The president is, obviously, in a tough, smart way.
No, he's not.
It's going to be very funny if that turns out to be like the major triumph of the first Obama administration.
Yeah.
Is this foreign policy triumph in Afghanistan? But yeah, this is a question, and I don't believe any of them have any conscience, but they should probably examine it if they do. People who work for television networks, there is no good reason to put this guy on television. He's one of the most discredited figures in America. I mean, Gary Hart, who knows more about these issues than anybody in the world, can't get arrested on TV. But
Dick Cheney,
with his 19% approval rating, and I guarantee it drops another 3 points every time he comes out of his hole, is given a free rein. And look, if he wants to go on Fox, he can go on Fox. The other networks just should ignore him.
Let me inflict the pain on you that is the soundbite from ABC's This Week, Dick Cheney.
It's the mindset that concerns me, John. I think it's very important to go back and keep in mind the distinction between handling these events as criminal acts, which is the way we did before 9/11, and then looking at 9/11 and saying this is not a criminal act, not when you destroy 16 acres of Manhattan, kill 3,000 Americans, blow a big hole in the Pentagon, that's an act of war.
Yeah, well, see, right there is just a big fat lie, Charlie, that, of course, they don't call him on ABC, that they did not just prosecute criminally before 9/11. They prosecuted 209 trials, including the shoe bomber criminally, after 9/11. But they don't call him on it.
And they weren't doing anything on this issue prior to 9/11. I mean, I don't know what he's talking about, we.
Right.
I mean, they prosecuted the first guys who tried to blow up the World Trade Center. They're in, you know, they're in supermax dungeons for, you know, five lifetimes. But these guys didn't do anything. These guys went from chasing Osama bin Laden to chasing Tommy Chong.
And then in the same interview, he tried to take credit for the Iraq withdrawal, which he's always opposed. Nothing.
There's only one way to shut him up, I've decided, and that's to put a Bible in front of him and tell him to put his hand on it. Because as soon as it comes to saying stuff under oath, he's right back in the undisclosed location hiding behind the skirts of his wife and daughter. Oh, I guess in the latter case, the pantsuit off. But...
Charlie Pierce, author extraordinaire of Idiot America, and also from the Boston Globe. Thank you, Charlie.
Thank you, guys. Have a good day.
All right, see you next Tuesday. There he goes.
If Cheney ever put his hand in a Bible, it would burst into flames.
I think it would.
I know. I was going to say.
His hand would melt off like the faces at the end of Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Try garlic. Or, all right. 46 minutes after the hour. More Dick. Are you kidding me?
What?
Dick Morris in Right Wing World.
Oh, God.
Next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ex-Catholic girls gone wild. Her grade school nuns would like to slap her silly. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Oh, because that guy died.
Doug
That's why.
Yeah, Doug Feger, the lead singer of The Neck, died just this week after a long battle with cancer.
That's my song. That's my era. 1979, my Sharona. Mm-hmm. Used to be blasting in the USC,
dorm.
Dorm, uh-huh.
Driving down the 405 while you're yakking up
grasshoppers.
Yeah, one
of the girls down the hall, Carol, used to play the Knack nonstop, all night long.
I still have that album somewhere.
On vinyl.
Yes.
Feger. Pardon me. Feger said the song was inspired by a girlfriend in 4 years. I never met a girl like her ever. She induced madness. She was very self-assured. She had also had an overpowering scent, and it drove me crazy.
Okay.
Is he questioning my Sharona's freshness?
Did he mention that Sharona...
That's a whole new meaning to the My Sharona song now.
Did he also mention that Sharona was 17 at the time?
Oops.
Oh, no.
Minor detail.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
And she now sells real estate for Sotheby's here in Los Angeles.
Does she still have her overpowering scent, I wonder?
I don't know.
Maybe that's
before you even reached the open house, you were aware of the My Sharona?
Houses.
What is that?
What is that smell?
Overpowering scent.
It's My Sharona.
I am questioning the freshness of this house and you. Yes, my Sharona, by the way, here's another side fun fact, gained attention again in 2005 when it was reported that George W. Bush had the song on his presidential iPod. Ugh.
That kind of ruins it for me.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I'm not sure Doug Beeger would be too happy about that either.
Somehow can just picture him singing along in that lame way, can't you, Jim?
My Sharona. My. Always.
God, dirty mind.
Won't get fooled again.
All right.
pictures of Lily.
Huh?
All right, let's dive into the right-wing world, see what's doing, shall we, kids? Oh, Dick Morris, you know, oh, is that what he used to be, Chris, a moderate blue dog?
Apparently.
Democrat? Really, not just a self-serving whore? Really?
I think he's always been a self-serving whore.
Interesting.
You see, Evan Bayh is a bit of a disappointment. I've been making the case that I don't think there is a moderate blue dog Democrat in Washington. It doesn't exist. It doesn't exist.
I used to be one, and I'm as extinct as a dodo bird. Yeah. There is no such thing as a conservative Democrat. That's why I'm a Republican now.
You are. He was not anything that had any principles of any kind ever.
No, he's a whore.
Exactly. He's someone that no one would have known who he is if it wasn't for Bill Clinton, and he's made a living turning on Bill Clinton.
And that guy paid good money for it, too. And still getting paid good money. Bill Clinton. That issue. Somebody get me a stent.
Clear those
cameras.
Yeah,
he needs a stent just to get through a run-on Republican talking point. He's, wow. All right, bat crazy Michelle Bachmann of Minnesota. She's a Hannity favorite, isn't she?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's on their speed dial.
Well, the president has two problems. One is transparency. He said at least 8 times on videotape he was going to have the negotiations on C-SPAN. He didn't, so that's a problem. And bipartisanship. He claimed he was going to be bipartisan. There's not one Republican bill in the book. So if his intent is to get a photo op so he can check the box and claim that he has bipartisanship and transparency, then that seems pretty disingenuous.
Yeah, what's disingenuous is the Republicans complaining about negotiations being televised now.
Yeah.
I don't know what the size of the room is going to be.
The kind of transparency that makes us look like the obstructionist asshats that we are. We didn't need that kind. Oh, my kingdom to watch the president debate Michelle Bachmann.
Yeah.
Oh, God. All right. Mary Catherine Hamm. Fresh from smelling her fingers on Saturday Night Live on the O'Reilly Factor.
White House can say they want to argue with Cheney all they want, but the fact is that he moves the numbers on these issues in favor of his own arguments.
No.
And the fact got, you know, Darth Vader arguing for those arguments, and yet they seem to be succeeding with the public, speaks to how much stronger his argument is. The American people like their president to be tough on terror and to sound like it.
And that's what Obama's doing.
He is being tough on terror.
He's not
just
sounding
right.
Tough. He is being tough on terror. There's a difference between bluster
and lying.
Yeah, speaking of which, Jim, that was exactly the opposite of what's true, which is so weird in right-wing world. Yeah, I just doing the latest poll numbers today that the president's strongest issue is handling the war on terrorism. So actually, every time Cheney opens his crooked, creepy pie hole, the president does better.
Yes, but people won't see that who watch Fox. Because they think that's the real news.
Because it has news in the title.
And I guess Tammy Bruce not speaking for the 71% of the American public who think Sarah Palin not even vaguely qualified to be president.
Sarah Palin now represents that independent firebrand dynamic that we thought we had in Schwarzenegger that we didn't. She's further out from the machine, and that's why the nation is responding to her.
And she'll quit.
Well, if you were paying attention, you'd know Arnold Schwarzenegger is a machine if you watch Terminator.
but at least we know who Tammy Bruce is.
Outside the machine, for God's sakes.
That machine is inside me. I have a metal skull and these kinds of things. And metal femur.
We just, you know.
My femur.
I'm going to miss the femur jokes more than anything when Schwarzenegger's gone.
Yeah.
Damn you, Brownie. You ruined femur. Ha! Get it? It's a joke and these kinds of things.
And things of that nature. Things that are like jokes, except they're not because they're not funny.
Mm-hmm. Actually, that was kind of funny. Surprisingly.
Mara Liasson on the Brit Bear. Oh, she's the Fox liberal, is she?
Yeah, she is.
Okay.
American people prefer military trials to civilian trials, and I think that the Obama administration will end up doing more military trials than they thought they would.
I hope they're paying her a lot of money for having quit NPR and to sell right-wing propaganda.
Her soul.
Yeah. No, she still works for NPR.
She does.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Yeah, I hear her reports all the time.
Good for her, then.
She only becomes a tool when she's on Fox News.
She just pulls out, like, polling from somewhere. Mm-hmm. What, Americans prefer 3 out of 4 dentists want to be what? Where did you get that from?
3 out of 4 doctors say Carlton cigarettes taste better and are better for your lungs.
That's what it sounded
like. And the fourth doctor is dead.
Because he smoked. Okay.
Because he smoked Carlton.
58 minutes after the hour. Back with the Scotchmore Right Wing World and Celebrity Stack as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. The Dow is up 96 points. This hour of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by Safe Light Auto Glass. Windshield chipped or cracked, call SafeLight Auto Glass at 1-800-800-2727 or go to safelight.com, won't you? Jim, you haven't cracked your windshield trying to get frost off it lately, have you,
no.
In Los Angeles?
No.
I remember that incident.
I didn't crack the windshield.
But all right, and stop with all the emails from L.A., by the way. It's 77 here. It's 80. I'm wearing a T-shirt.
It was
80.
It was beautiful yesterday. It's supposed to be beautiful again today.
Whatever, L.A. boy.
Well,
it looks like a snow globe in Central Park today. It's magic.
Neat.
It does. It's beautiful until it all turns to like everything else in my life.
Well, like everything else in New York, it all turns to crap.
It does not. Don't you be all L.A. centric now. We are, as you know, we are. I'm bi. I love both. I love L.A. and New York.
Okay. Right. New York's a great place to visit. I'll give you that.
It's a great place to live, too.
Okay.
What? All right, Stephanie Miller.
If you have a bajillion dollars.
Yeah. although Los Angeles isn't that much cheaper.
Yes, exactly. StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, and me, Stephanie Miller. Like Tim in Dallas, early this morning, alerted us to the on the live blog. Alerted us to the news that Talkers Magazine has just posted its highly subjective 2010 list of America's most important talk show hosts. It is very subjective. We explained why earlier.
Well, no, we didn't explain why. We failed to explain why.
We were very cryptic.
Yes.
Okay. Anyway.
And we're going to remain cryptic because you have to host something.
Exactly, because I'm the MC of the new media seminar, and I have to learn some things about new media before I do that. But I will. It's not till March.
You tweet. That's good.
Exactly.
Enough.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I am, that's the breaking news. I'm number 24, higher than Bill Bennett at 25, Howard Stern at 32. Poor Howard Stern. And Roger Hedgehog.
Cock.
Excuse me?
Roger Hedgehog.
Pardon me.
You keep getting that wrong.
Uh-huh. As I like to think about it, Steph is the nation's most important female talk radio host not named Laura. So that's it. That's something.
Wait a minute. Laura Ingraham is higher than you?
Apparently. By the way,
she's doing your shtick.
Yes. She accuses me of stealing her show, except that I started in radio 30 years ago.
Right.
So I don't...
She was just a lawyer.
All right. Wait a minute. Here's some scintillating entertainment, Jim. You'll want to put this on your list. Fred Thompson is going to release his memoir. But here's the part that irritated me the most. Thompson now hosts a daily radio show. In less than a year since it launched, the show's been picked up by over 150 stations.
Oh.
See, they use that as
be good at it.
Yes, it must be good because, see, you can really, let me just say this delicately, Chris, you can really suck ass and get like 200 stations if you're conservative.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And many do suck ass, and they have 200 stations.
Fred Thompson sucks ass, is all I'm saying. Have you listened to the Snooze Fest?
I'm pretty tired. I think I'll go home now.
The show will
his segments are only like 3 minutes long because then he has to take a nap
we'll
between
get out of control quickly.
Kind of like Bill Bennett's show.
He's take a nap.
How can Bill Bennett do a morning show? I don't understand that.
Can I have a round of applause, please?
I don't understand how Bill Bennett can do a morning show. He's so boring. You got to be upbeat.
Yeah. Is it all just like, does he just read like his OTB card or what? Like, is it all about gambling?
It's all policy wonk stuff.
Is it just pony picks?
I think he liked the tables. I don't think he liked the ponies.
See, the guy that owns the show that's trying to kill me for the insurance money, he's actually in the studio now. And, you know, he's, how do I say this, Chris?
A fine American?
Really more fine businessman. Okay. He can tell you, if you will. Here, hang on a second. I'll tell you.
Uh-oh.
What did you say to me, a guy that owns the show that's trying to kill me for the insurance money? What was it, a year or two ago? You said, if you want to get 200 stations.
Do you mean the epiphany moment?
Yes.
Ah, I once called Stephanie, and I said, Steph, I know how you could get 200 stations real easy.
Uh-huh.
And she did it. She said, how? I said, just wake up and have an epiphany moment that you're conservative. Mm-hmm. Do the same show, just take totally different points of view, mm-hmm. and we'll be on 200-300 stations in 90 days.
And sadly, that is absolutely true.
And replace me with Dennis Miller.
No. Well, we would keep you.
We have some principles.
Didn't Arianna Huffington do that in reverse?
Yes, but yeah, I know. What? See, I think what the guy that owns... I'm not implying that he's just a guy that owns the show that's trying to kill me for the life insurance money that has no soul. I'm just saying he clearly would sell his soul to have a show that could get... He wouldn't care about political principle if we could just get 200 stations. Which I could, if I just... He's giving a big thumbs up now.
Hey, you know what? That Obama is a socialist, commie, atheist Muslim.
I just realized that. All right, he wants to say something. Okay, yes, hello.
Come to the dark side, Stephanie.
You are part of a rebel alliance and a traitor. Take her away.
Yeah. He knows, Jim, I get very cranky every year about this time. Just because, you know what I'm saying, Chris, it belongs in the Isn't That Ironic file, isn't it? I'm just saying when I go around to our affiliates, whether it's Asheville or Madison or San Francisco or Seattle, I'm generally the number one show on all those stations. And for some reason, I don't know what it takes exactly to get up higher on that list.
I know what it takes.
Yes?
More whoring than you're willing to do.
Exactly.
Exactly. Yes, Ron is giving the thumbs up on that as well. All right, so, Jim, this is going to... Wow-wee. You could do the book on tape for this. Fred Thompson has written a memoir about his small-town childhood called Teaching the Pig to Dance.
Oh, great.
Oh, no.
It recounts his upbringing in Lawrence.
There I was, sitting there by the creek, whittling... When a catfish jumped out. Sorry, I put myself to sleep.
He's upbringing in Lawrenceburg, Tennessee. A longtime Thompson associate who has seen the manuscript. Oh, God, that'd have to be a good friend that would. Oh. Can I just shoot myself in the head, Fred? Okay, I got to read your book. Okay. He has seen the manuscript and described it as filled with humorous vignettes.
Oh,
something
boy.
Of a southern fried lake will be gone.
No!
Just like Wake Won't Be Gone, except not as entertaining in any way. It will detail his discovery of Barry Goldwater.
He discovered
conservatism, apparently.
No, he didn't discover
Barry
Goldwater.
I wonder if he discovered my dad as well, or just Goldwater. I don't know.
I think he's saying that he had a personal discovery of that kind of conservatism.
He didn't find him under a rock.
No, I don't think he discovered Barry Goldwater.
See, and that's what the guy that owns the show is trying to say. If I could just rediscover Barry Goldwater, I would get 200 more stations tomorrow.
No. You know what? Conservatives, Republicans, don't dig Barry Goldwater anymore.
He's too
they
liberal.
They really don't.
He was
too liberal.
I know. All right. Let's finish up the right-wing world, shall we? Frank Barnes on the Brit Bear on the Evan...
Burper.
Yes. Thank you. Uh-huh.
If he wants to be president, Charles, he better switch parties. Look, this Democratic Party is so much more liberal now than it was in 1992 when Bill Clinton, a certifiable moderate, was the nominee. As a moderate, and as you say, they're being made extinct among Democrats, at least in Congress, a moderate cannot win the Democratic presidential nomination.
Oh, I see. You have to be a communist socialist. Is that his point? Like Obama?
Sure, because Obama is so communist.
Uh-huh. Okay. By the way, the fine American, hang on a second, here it is. Okay, that owns our Minneapolis station, Janet.
Right.
who is a very, very smart Democrat. She says, I would like to suggest some other reasons why Biden stepping down is a good move for Obama. Anyway, she says, because you know me, I'm a happy, clappy liberal. I was saying earlier this morning, we can't just give up.
Right.
She said, we can win this seat. A primary in Indiana is not the best way for Democrats to win. Now the party can get together and agree on the best candidate for the U.S. Senate seat. This late exit keeps good Republicans from getting into the race. The current candidate for the Republicans is not very good, and we have some great congressmen that could win statewide, like Barron Hill or Brad Ellsworth, who we mentioned earlier. Anyway, she had some good thoughts in there. Yeah. I'm not giving up. Is it over? It's not over. Was it over when the Germans bombed?
Over? Did you say over? Nothing is over until we decide it is.
Right.
Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor? Hell no!
German? Forget it, he's rolling.
It ain't over now. Because when the going gets tough, the tough get going. Who's with me? Let's go! Come on!
Goodbye, Evan, bye. Right. Who needs you?
Bye-bye, then.
Bye-bye.
God, get it?
Easy, because it's a homonym.
John Fury on Dick Cheney.
The Obama administration always decides that they have to listen to him and then try to counter him because they're worried that he has more credibility than they do on national security. And the fact of the matter is Dick Cheney, when he's Secretary of Defense, throughout his vice presidential career, he was a real voice of national security and someone that has more credibility than the vice president.
And it's the best voice of national security while he let 9/11 happen on his watch.
Yeah, exactly.
A self-appointed president.
I'm sorry, did he use Dick Cheney and credibility in the same sentence then? Dick Cheney, who has been caught literally in a lie almost every time he opens his creepy, crooked mouth.
No, I haven't.
Yeah, you have. No, you did. You have. You've gotten caught in a lie, yes. No.
Mm-hmm. 2 + 2 = 5.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it does.
Okay, let's... I continue to not be amazed by Dick Cheney lying. It's just the fact that the mainstream media just keeps letting him get away with it.
Well, that's probably one of the conditions for forgetting Cheney. You don't have to ask him questions, just like before the 9/11 commission.
Do you think his handler? Yeah, exactly.
You can't ask him questions. He's not under oath. No recordings or notes of any kind.
Right. Right. Yeah, I mean, I don't know whether the handler says that. Okay, now, when the vice president tells his first big lie, you must immediately go on to the next question.
Right. No follow-ups.
Yeah, sure, like the thing we just played from ABC, that after 9/11, we used to try things as criminal acts before 9/11, but not after 9/11. That's just completely...
You're lying, sack of crap.
No! 209 criminal trials after 9/11, including Richard Reid. No!
9/11 actually happened on Bill Clinton's watch.
But then he tried to take credit for the Iraq withdrawal. He's on record 1,000 times as being against any withdrawal of any kind.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
No, that was me. Yes.
Yes.
No. Good God.
I'll be over here in the corner weeping. All right, 17 minutes after the hour, back with us, Celebrity Stack. Oh, look who's hopping through Celebrity Stack, Heather Mills. We'll be back with...
Oh, Stephanie.
I didn't say that. D-listed did.
Oh.
Okay. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Facts with Slide Whistle. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
How fast could your business take off if it was featured by me in an upcoming LegalZoom spot? Stay tuned. February is National Start Your Business Month, and LegalZoom is making it simple and affordable to start your business and take it to the next level. Whether your business is just getting off the ground, a work-from-home, or already thriving business, chances are you need some important legal documents. Maybe it's time to incorporate or file a DBA, or maybe you want a trademark. LegalZoom can save you a bundle on virtually any legal document. If you completed at LegalZoom this month, you could be featured in an upcoming LegalZoom spot. Plus, when you incorporate or form an LLC through LegalZoom this month, you'll get a free website design and marketing package, including domain name and hosting for 30 days. It's National Start a Business Month. Get moving with LegalZoom. LegalZoom isn't a law firm, but was started by top attorneys to provide self-help services at your specific direction. February is National Start a Business Month. For even more savings, enter Stephanie at checkout. Go now, LegalZoom.com. That's LegalZoom.com.
Thank you.
Stephanie Miller.
24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Don't forget, Mama will be on with David Schuster for the first time today. At 3:30 Eastern Time, 12:30 Pacific Time.
Make sure you run a comb through your hair.
Shush! I know, I don't think they have, like, daytime, there's no hair people
no,
there.
No, I'm
we'll
sure
see how
not.
That goes. Woof! Oh, see
no.
how that goes for Mama. All right. I usually get that magical, you know, nighttime lighting with the, they throw a scarf over the lamps and stuff when I'm there in the evening.
Oh, okay.
They give me the Blanche DuBois lighting and the hair and makeup.
The colored Japanese lanterns.
Speaking of someone that needs better hair and makeup and lighting, Heather Mills, holy moly, what's... D-listed writing, Heather Mills is as broke as she looks.
Oh.
I don't know what's happened there. Heather Mills has confessed that she's pretty much blown through her... How much did she get? 24.3 million pounds? So that's what?
Double that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Approximately.
Million dollars.
Oh, my God.
Divorce settlement from Paul McCartney in less than 2 years. As soon as the money dropped into her checking account, Heather said she immediately handed it over to various charities, you know, because she's like the Robin Hood of gold-digging whores, according to D-listed. She said, she gave a quote where she said, I could never sit with millions of pounds in the bank that could make matters change. What? Yes, you can.
You don't have to give away all of it.
Yeah.
That quote right there should cause Paul McCartney to legally change his name, buy a new Social Security number online, move to the Arctic, and keep all his money in a box made out of bloody beefsteaks because Heather's hopping back for more.
Heather's hopping back for more.
That's D-listed. That wasn't me. I would never say something.
Yes, you would. In fact, you have.
Jim's the one that calls it the Unidexter
slag. Unidexter slag. Anytime, Annie. Big girl's blouse. So call me Brand Mash, me coppers. I've got nothing left. Turn me pockets inside out. There's nothing there.
Speaking of music royalty, oh, I don't know about this. Michael Jackson's daughter wants to be a pop star. I don't.
Oh,
boy.
Dear.
I can almost feel Joe Jackson salivating from here.
Yeah.
He has dollar signs in his eyes as we speak.
He actually looks like he really does. You know what I'm saying? His eyes actually look like they have dollar signs in them. Is it just me? The family of the late pop superstar astonished at how similar... Pardon me. Pardon me. I have no cough button here.
I guess not. You caught Charlie Pierce's cough, apparently.
I have to do my hernia test on air because we have a very paltry health care program. Okay. The family are astonished at how similar his three kids are to him, with the eldest in particular showing signs of following in his footsteps. Oh, dear.
Is he moonwalking?
Pardon me?
Is he moonwalking? Is that
I don't know. So, yeah, they probably taught them to walk backwards before they taught them to walk forwards, right? Because that's... Talking to Prince is like talking to Michael, said one source. He's so smart and mature, way beyond his age. Paris, meanwhile, wants to be a singer.
Oh, no. Oh,
well,
no.
She probably has the genes for it. She'd probably be very good at it.
Well...
Are you implying that that's actually his biological kid?
Oh, well.
Seriously? Oh, I...
Really? You don't think that he had any contribution? They do look like him.
But does singing ability run... I mean, that's not genetic.
Sure it is.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't
musical
think
abilities.
So.
Yeah, of course it is.
Oh, I don't know. Twilight Hunk...
But do you have anyone
know,
who sings in your family? Stephanie?
No, I am tone deaf. Seriously. I had a music director once say that to me in college. Like, I've never met anybody. You are completely tone deaf. She'd be trying to, like, teach him, because I'd try to get...
I
remember, I was...
Birds,
they tried to put me in musicals, here. And she's like, what? Do you hear that? What do you hear? I'm like, I don't... Harmony, I can't do that. Jim, I know you're a good singer. I can't, like, when I go whatever way you're going with your... I can't do the different note on harmony. That's, yeah.
Well, my mom was a singer.
Oh, well,
my
there
dad
you are.
Wasn't, so I obviously got
there
it from
you are.
My mom's side.
Twilight Hunk Robert Pattinson claims he is allergic to vagina.
Yeah. Dear.
Does Kristen, what's her name, know about this?
He doesn't mean it in a gay way. He just doesn't like the lady parts. I don't know what that's all
no,
about.
No, that's not gay at all.
That's gay. That's pretty gay.
Seems pretty gay to me, but the Twilight Hunk said he found a recent photo shoot difficult as he had to pose with a number of naked models.
Yeah.
You know how horrible that would be, Jim.
Yeah, that would be horrible.
For
if you're
you.
Gay.
He said, I really hate vaginas. I'm a...
He said in a not at all gay way.
No.
In a non-gay way. He said, I'm allergic to vagina. It was a 12-hour shoot, so you get kind of get the picture that these women are going to stay naked after like 5 or 6 hours. But I wasn't exactly prepared. I had no idea what to say to them. Well, you don't talk to the vagina. You can actually talk to the
person.
To the woman.
Yeah.
All right. Hmm. Maybe he just needs a couple of tips. He said, thank God I was hungover.
I'm sure he's had a couple of tips.
He has publicly commented on how hard it is to meet girls. Maybe because he won't shut up about hating vagina. Yeah. Maybe there's that. It tends to scare a gal off. He said the closest thing he has is his relationship with his dog. Oh, he's perfect for me.
Except he hates your vagina.
Well, listen, wouldn't be the first time. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
What tasteful way did you describe her?
The girl with the snackable ass.
Yes, that's the young lady.
The girl with the spankable ass.
It is the Stephanie Miller
Show.
Stephanie's
being distracted.
I'm being harassed by the guy that owns the show that's trying to kill me for the insurance money.
Did he grab your boob?
He has no respect for my friggin' art.
Art?
Yes. Can you see him on Skype here? He's pestering me.
Yeah,
stop
but
it.
What we do is not art.
Yeah, it is.
No, it's not.
He pays for that.
He does pay for that. He's paid for all of this.
Okay, 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere to join the party. I was doing a little J-date with him online. I was just showing
J-date?
Him. I was trying to raffle off one of my friends to him if he was interested. All right. All right. Are you going to put together my P90X chin-up bar?
Yes.
Wait a minute. I thought he said he didn't do that because...
Because he's a Jew.
Yeah.
I don't know. But that was his last excuse. All right. I'm gonna. You know what? I'm going to get more exercise putting that thing together than I am. I'm even starting the program. But I'm very excited. You started yesterday, Chris. I'm starting. Yep. I'm going to hopefully start today. I'll be motivated after I spend time with David Schuster to get all ripped. Okay.
Maybe she had some Amish guy to put up your chin-up bar. Raise a barn while he's at it.
Yeah, they're good at that sort of thing.
All right. What did one listener call it? My termite-infested lean-to in Calcutta here? All right. Mama, Julie in Seattle writes, look what they're doing to Mama's favorite actress, Sandra Bullock. She finally gets a crack at an Oscar, and organizers are stifling her big moment when she wins. Did you hear about this? The Academy Award organizers have come up with a novel idea for avoiding those boring Oscar acceptance speeches filled with thank yous. Their solution, have the winners give two speeches. This is what they're talking about this year. One backstage, or excuse me, one on stage telling audiences what winning an Oscar means to them, and a second one backstage for a thank you cam, where winners can say thanks to, I don't know.
Whatever. That's an interesting idea.
Or Hillary Swank can forget to say thank you to whoever her current spouse is, or whatever. God, you wonder, how many people have done that, where you're just like, you're just like one step off stage, aren't you, Jim, where you're like, oh, I am never going to get laid again. I forgot to thank the spouse.
Oops.
Oh.
Of course, in Sean Penn's case, she was soon no longer the spouse. Anyway, so.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right. The speaking of film and directing, delisted of Madonna, the headline is, but what she really wants to do is direct. Badge is... they write, Badge is practically an English film director since she sucked the life out of one for all those years. So she's the obvious choice. To direct a movie about the affair between King Edward VIII and American socialite Wallis Simpson. And she's also a good choice because her arms look like they battled the Serbs in World War I. Oh, delisted. All right, another director news. Actor director Kevin Smith got ejected from a flight for being fat.
Yeah.
Did you hear about this?
Yeah. But he actually fit in the seat.
He
didn't
did.
Need an extender or anything.
He was able to put the seat rest down, and that is Southwest Airlines barometer as to whether you can fit in the seat or
not.
Oh,
I wasn't going to say the name of the airline, but...
It's
a different direction
there.
Than Northwest.
It's out there. It's
Kevin Smith says he's way fat, but that shouldn't stop him from flying. He says the pilot ejected... That's weird. A pilot ejected him from a Southwest airline flight from Oakland to Burbank, saying he didn't fit properly in a single seat. After a storm of angry online comments from Smith and his fans, the airline issued an apology first from its Twitter account and later in a statement on its website entitled Not So Silent Bob.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the Southwest with the funny. The Southwest, see, because that's the character he plays.
Yeah. Maybe okay. The pilot wasn't a fan of his work. Get that bastard
yeah,
off my
Yeah, and apparently
plane.
He had bought the two seats that, you know, you can buy if you're heavy.
But then he
was going standby on this flight, so he, you know.
Right. So.
Yeah.
He usually buys two seats on Southwest so that he could stretch because he doesn't like people next to him.
He doesn't look that heavy to me.
He's heavier than most, but.
He's not morbidly obese.
But no, I've seen, you know, bigger people on the
I've seen worse.
All right. Of course, the big breaking news that we've been talking about all morning. Evan Bayh announcing his retirement. But gosh, Jim, you know, speaking of which, we'd hate to see Harry Reid mad. But I bet you Harry Reid, because he didn't tell Harry Reid.
I'm just livid. I'm sorry you had to see me like this, but I'm so angry I could pout.
And apparently, after who is it that's who am I thinking of? Byron Dorgan. Apparently, after that, Harry Reid did go around to, you know, obviously other senators checking, and he said Bayh didn't give him any indication that he wasn't thinking of running. It's amazing, Jim, that Harry Reid couldn't put the fear of God into Evan Bayh.
Hey,
why wouldn't you get a talking to by Harry Reid?
You really shouldn't do that. I would feel hurt if you did that. I would take it as a personal affront, and then you'd be the victim of my wrath.
He may even hit him with a white glove later. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing we were saying is that, you know, somebody's got to file by Friday. So, I mean, this really caught Democrats by surprise. To me, Chris, I agree with you. It was a big you. And he didn't tell Harry Reid.
Right.
You know, he had to hear it on the news.
I think Harry Reid must have pissed him off in some way, shape, or form.
Well, isn't he sensitive?
Mm-hmm.
Senator Evan Bayh.
For some time, I've had a growing conviction that Congress is not operating as it should.
Right.
There is much too much partisanship and not enough progress.
Oh, my God. You're the problem.
Thank you.
Why there's no progress, because of tools like you sucking up to the insurance industry.
You know, that's the one thing that irritates the hell out of me is that when, you know, we play clips like that in right-wing world, that's the one thing they're right about, Jim. You know, like the president said it. We still have the biggest majorities in how long? Do it. That's you know, they're exactly right about that. It's because of conservative Dems like Evan Bayh that we're not getting anything done.
Yep.
And it's going to take down the whole Democratic Party with it. Because, you know, yes, people can see me. I think polling clearly shows people get that the Republicans are being, obstructionist in an unprecedented way. But it's just, all right, Evan Bayh.
I have not detected a level of anger and cynicism about the federal government in my lifetime as high as it is today.
Because it's been ginned up by the teabaggers who are tools of the insurance industry, just like you.
Exactly. Senator, he doesn't.
I love helping our citizens make the most of their lives, but I do not love Congress.
Break out the tiny violin. Oh, he doesn't love Congress anymore after all he's done for them. Who does love Congress? For God's sakes.
Again, just pandering to the teabaggers.
Yeah. Evan Bayh talking about...
Get your government hands off my Medicare!
What? Oh, never mind.
I'm an executive at heart. I value my independence. I'm not motivated by strident partisanship or ideology. These traits may be useful in many walks of life, but unfortunately they are not highly valued in Congress.
I'm motivated by big checks from the insurance industry. I mean, by
that my wife
people.
Brings home from her
the,
job.
Will of the people come and who? I gotta go.
Boy, we've turned on him like an angry junkyard dog this morning.
Absolutely.
And as Charlie Pierce said, well deserved, nicely played. All right. His passion for the service.
My passion for service to our fellow citizens is undiminished, but my desire to do so by serving in Congress has waned.
Now is not the time to quit.
No, that means he can make a hell of a lot more money being a lobbyist.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yes, one more, Evan Bayh.
My decision should not be interpreted for more than it is. A very difficult, deeply personal one.
Hmm. It shouldn't be construed as self-serving and quitty in any way. Okay, then. All right.
At least he's not, like, withdraw. I mean, you know, he's not quitting the office. He's going to serve out his term, unlike Sarah Palin, who didn't serve out her term.
She's the quittiest twitty ever.
Absolutely.
The quitter from Twitter is. All right. Well, you know, we've had, you know, as you know, we're still happy, clappy liberals. I say this is not the time to lay down and die. It's the time to keep fighting. Because I know we had one caller, right, Chris? It was like, we're all going to lose the house, poo. Mm-hmm. It was the ER of the Stephanie Miller show this morning that it's all over now. This is by our friend, the fine American Howard Feynman recently. Because I think it is time for some advice, because we got this big healthcare meeting coming up, correct? We've got, you know, the seat is not lost yet.
Right.
Howard Feynman writes about how Obama can turn things around. Don't panic is the first thing. Yeah, we're good at panicking, Democrats, so far, aren't we?
That's what we do best.
First line in the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
I mean, exactly. Panic. It's like, okay. Don't panic. I guess Evan Bayh didn't read this. Don't let your fellow Democrats panic. When bunched together in Congress, party members can behave like a herd of buffalo. They stampede at scary sounds. Now is the time for Obama to use his legendary cool and reassure Dems that all is not lost. They're only a year into his term. He's accomplished some worthy things. Invite them to the White House in groups or en masse. Talk about what has gone wrong. And how to make it right. Be leaderly. I have
leaderly?
Seen you do it.
Hmm? Leaderly?
Leaderly. Hey, look, if Howard Feynman says it's a word, it's a word.
Okay.
He says, cut your losses on health care. There is no good option in this political disaster. Perhaps the best thing to do is break the massive legislation into pieces and dare the GOP to vote against the best parts of it, like the requirement that insurance companies permanently cover all patients. Create jobs. Pledge it for the next year. Your sole domestic focus will be on job creation, which... again, he is, but running into, once again, a solid wall of obstructionism from Republicans. create a real, substantive, and powerful deficit reduction commission. Most Americans do care about the country going bankrupt, even as they demand more benefits from government. Congress can't seem to handle the conflict. The former president of the Harvard Law Review is not good at admitting he's occasionally stupid. This would be a good time to give such a speech. Obama can say that he has learned. In fact, he said he had better say that. Be a real populist. Obama ran as an outsider, even though many of us knew that except for his race and his relative youth, he really wasn't one, which is the point you keep making, Jim. Yep. You know, he's very moderate, very centrist.
Yep.
He's not comfortable with us against them rhetoric, but that's the mood of the American people are in, and understandably so. They've been screwed by the big boys in the corporate world and on Wall Street, so Obama needs to pick a real fight with some real enemies, like the brokers and the bankers, mm-hmm. which I think he has been taking that advice. Get out of D.C. more, Howard Feynman says. Consider shaking up the political shop. Everyone was asleep as the tidal wave built in Massachusetts. That's true.
Yeah.
Don't try to drive a pickup truck. Leave that for the Scott Browns of the world. But you might want to play a little more basketball in, say, Indiana. Which
yeah.
Because he's good at some hoop, mm-hmm. is all I'm saying. And they understand that sort of language in Indiana, is what I'm saying. All right, and we had the solution earlier, didn't we, Chris? Senator John Mellencamp.
Absolutely.
Hello. All right, 45 minutes after the hour, right back. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Our thoughts and yours on where we go next after the defection of Evan Bayh as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Making right-wing wackos everywhere hurl. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Stephanie, we have breaking John Mellencamp news.
Really?
Yes.
Well, there is now a Facebook group, Draft John Mellencamp for Senate.
Wow.
Yes.
Because of Mama? Or did someone else think of it?
It might be because of Mama.
As, I think everything is.
John Mellencamp been informed of this?
But I'm really self-involved, aren't I, Jim? What do you think about me being self-involved? It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 51 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll-free from anywhere to join the potty. John, my right-wing bunt cake in Amherst on Evan Bayh. Hello, John.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
This is going to be one of many Democrats that have abandoned Obama. You know, it's not a question. This guy was sitting with a 20-point lead in the polls in Indiana. If it was just about getting the Senate seat back, I mean, he could have just had it in a laydown. However,
yes.
What happened is
however, he's a wiener. What's your point?
No, that's okay. You know, fine. You can run someone who's a lot more leftist against him or more left than he is, and that's fine, and he will lose. I'm going to make a prediction, and you love it.
I don't think it's a question of being left or right. I think it's having some principles and trying to get something done that the American people would like to get done, don't you think?
Steph.
Yes, John.
Don't ever say to me, even you'd agree, or don't you think?
Because is there any chance that you could get a more condescending tone in your voice? If you could work on that, I'd appreciate it.
Oh, now, sorry, but listen, I just don't agree with what you're saying. Now, the thing about this is that Barack Obama is going to face a lot of these people who are going to abandon him. You look at your jobs bill going from $90 billion to $15
billion. So... at this point, still more Republicans have decided not to run again than Democrats. Who are they abandoning?
Well, they may be, because they may not have a chance. They may, just for their own reasons, get out of it. Or they may be losing to someone who's more conservative.
Humana.
So let me make a prediction. You'll love it when I get incendiary, correct?
Mm-hmm.
I think, we don't know a lot about Barack Obama prior to him being president, like who he hung around with and stuff like that. I don't know if he even had any friends.
We don't know enough about his shadowy associates, do we?
No, I'm not even, Steph, please, don't read anything to what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that this man never really had a lot of close people. And he's a president of the United States, and now he's got Harry Reid abandoning him. Everyone's going to start abandoning him.
Harry Reid's abandoning him?
Well, he goes down to a $15 billion jobs bill, whatever that means. But what I'm going to say is I think Barack Obama is literally going to have a meltdown. I don't know when it's going to happen. No,
because he's a notorious hothead, as we know.
Like a Howard Beale in Network kind of thing?
Well, I like the Stillwaters Run Deep analogy more than anything. Mm-hmm. I think this guy is just way too cool for school. And I predict that once these people start to abandon...
So you would like a president to be more erratic like John McCain might have been?
Steph, I'm just simply making a prediction. You can make fun of it, as you always do, after you hang up on me about me being a racist.
Oh, no, I mock you to your face, not when you hang up.
No, that's okay. You get the gratuitous attack after I hang up.
Uh-huh.
But that's okay. But listen, I'm just making a prediction that he's going to have a meltdown. And I mean it's going to be a meltdown where he's going to be sheltered. No one's going to die. He's ubiquitous now. When this happens, and I think it's going to happen,
he'll be sheltered during his meltdown so that we won't know about it. So only you'll really know.
Hey, listen, there's still 3 years almost left in his presidency. Just remember I said it. That's all I got to say.
Okay. All right, John. Oh, it's time for me to hang up on you so I can mock you viciously. Something went wrong with the phone line. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, my goodness. Darn it all.
Yeah, Obama's going to blow up and have a meltdown.
Mm. I think he works on getting more condescending. Don't you think, Jim?
No, he's not condescending.
You know what I'm guessing is the president will be shielded during his meltdown, Jim, by a room full of black guys, as you can imagine, which I think are the shadowy associates to which he refers that we don't know much
guys.
About.
Be nice to John. He's your entree back into the Pontillo Brothers universe.
Yeah. I want to get some of those Pontillo breadsticks again.
Oh, dude.
Mark and... He keeps starting, so it's just a completely vicious false rumor that I did John Pontillo when I was growing up in Lockport, and that is completely untrue.
In return for pizza?
Yeah, you did it for
free
pizza.
As far as I remember. What?
You did it for free
pizza.
Oh, well,
that's not free. That's not for free. Mark in Chicago. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Steph. Love your show.
Thank you.
I went to college in Indiana, and our fraternity prank every year was to go out and steal the billboard that said God, guns, and guts. Let's keep all three. But what I was wondering is, and good luck getting a Democrat in. I hope it happens. But what I was wondering is,
you never know. I think there are some good candidates like Ellsworth that I would say it's early.
Well, I'm going to show my age, but I had an imperial margarine moment wondering why Obama never pushed for the single payer because he came out and said, the health plan was a jobs plan, and I agree with that because if our unions and manufacturing plants didn't have to offer benefits, we'd be a little more competitive. But then I put two and two together. I used to be a defense lawyer for hospitals and doctors, and the big fear that made us settle all the lawsuits was future medical expenses, and I just wonder if the trial bar doesn't quite want to give up the third of a unknown huge amount of money to settle these lawsuits.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you for your call, David. I missed what the imperial margarine moment was, but all right. More importantly...
That was it.
Oh, okay. All right. You know, here's how Jan probably knows that the president is toast and about to have a meltdown, because maybe Oscar the Death Cat has been spotted in the Oval Office. Could I have my creepy cat music,
actually,
please?
Actually, this is a very cute story.
No, it's not.
Yes,
you would
it
only
is.
Say that because you're a cat owner.
No, it's a very cute story.
Julie in Seattle, hey, Mama and Chris, a new book tries to soften the image of nursing home Grim Reaper cat named Oscar, who shows up at the bedside of people who, perhaps unbeknownst to them, are about to die.
He goes and comforts people that are about ready to die.
Does he know?
But she,
yes.
She can't imagine a cat comforting him.
Exactly. Anyway.
Or is it something more sinister?
No.
Or is it just a coincidence? Is it sort of like how Greta Van Susteren shows up entirely too quickly at the scene of the crime? Perhaps lie on their necks like... Perhaps he lies on their necks like Jazz does, sucking the breath right out of them in a sneaky way that goes unnoticed, allowing him to kill and kill again.
No, he doesn't kill.
No.
I'll let other people decide. When doctors and staff realized that a cat living in a U.S. nursing home could sense when someone was going to die, the feline Oscar was portrayed as a furry, grim reaper, four-legged angel of death. But Dr. David Dosa said he never intended to make Oscar sound creepy. Or his arrival at a bedside to be viewed negatively. He hopes his new book will put the cat in a more favorable light. After the New England Journal article, you got the feeling that if Oscar's in your bed, you're dead. But you didn't really see what's going on for these family members. I wanted to write a book that would go beyond Oscar's peculiarities to tell why he is important to family members and caregivers. When Oscar was about 6 months old, the staff noticed that he would curl up to sleep with patients who were about to die. So far, he has accurately predicted about 50 deaths. That's an awfully
accurate. No, he comforted 50 people who are getting ready to die
Oscar
in a few hours.
Oscar has even been thanked by families for providing comfort in this kind of...
Exactly.
I would.
Families. They don't even know to be healing them.
Just have a genetic hatred of cats.
I don't hate them.
Yes, you do. You hate cats.
58 minutes after the hour. See you tomorrow for Hump Days with Hal on the Stephanie Miller Show.